Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. Roll to the wrap up. We got you for the next 60 minutes. Let's get into it.
Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Ah, young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers. Your reign on the top was shorter than leprechauns. You can't fuck with hoes, what type of ex you're on? I got great lawyers for cops, so dress warm. Charges don't stick to duty, Teflon. I'm too sexy for jail like I'm right, said Fred. I'm not guilty, now give me back my...
The call-in number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Thank you for everybody that's been checking us out recently, at least for the past month and a half or so. Everything has been looking very good. Thank you to everybody that's been participating, sending us emails, things of that nature. I had to let the song run a little bit. I had to get that up in energy that I had in my body because you leave it to Tommy B. He got me pretty hyped up, so I had to dance it out a little bit, Sporty. I had to dance it out a little bit, but I got Tommy in the building with me. Welcome to the Rap Up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing good. After a certain someone had a very good day of picking yesterday, I'm just saying, someone's gonna be back on top in the college and our NFL picks. Give it time, Sports Danny. I'll roll the picks.
I ain't even gonna start singing in that. I ain't even gonna start, man, because I might start protesting. I might start protesting, especially how everything went down yesterday. Funny, it's funny that Tommy finally got it together on a Sunday. Everything went haywire yesterday. We'll get into that and more. In Sports City, we got 60 minutes. So I gotta try and roll into a lot of it as best as possible. I don't want to run into this as fast as I possibly can. In Sports City, y'all know me. I try my best not to talk about any of my teams or my boys because it shows me being biased or you know, one-dimensional. I try my best, but one of them I just have to talk about. I have to talk about it. But nevertheless, we'll get there. First and foremost, Tommy, we were in a Game 5 situation in the middle of the north side of Chicago, where the Chicago Cubs are pushed to the brink, back against the wall, up against the Cleveland Indians, looking at a 3-1 deficit. They survived. When it came 3-2, where Aroldis Chapman had to come in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning to shut the door on these guys, while he had that one-run lead, it looked like things could actually, you know, get interesting for him. Looked like Cleveland could score a run and tie this thing up. Chapman did what was necessary to pitch 2 2/3 of the inning and basically survive another day to see if they can get away in Cleveland for a Game 6 and push the potential Game 7 if they are to win the next game. Tommy, your thoughts on John Lester and that bullpen holding it together as best as they can? And Chris Bryant, thank you for waking up, sir. Thank you for waking up.
I'm not surprised. I told you yesterday morning, Sports City, that the Cubs were going to win this. Before I get into the this was a John Lester and a Chapman type of game. I was not surprised one bit. Now let's get into news that broke today. There's news coming out of Cleveland that they're playing just suddenly stopped working, I guess. And they had to make a pit stop or mercy landing and everything else. And they did not get into Cleveland till early this morning at 5 a.m. this morning. I believe something funny is going on. I would not be shocked to see, Chicago come back and win this series. Watch.
Who's playing came in late? The Cubs or the Indians?
Who's what?
Who's playing landed late? The Cubs or the Indians playing?
Cleveland's playing landed late. They did not get back into Cleveland until 5 a.m. this morning.
Wow.
Now, I know they have a day off. Nothing plays till tomorrow. They get to sleep in their own beds and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just saying, it's something funny going on.
But there's a lot of interesting storylines going on into this one, and you actually talked about the one yesterday stating that the network that was playing the World Series, which is Fox here, I think it's Fox everywhere, but at least here it's Fox with Joe Buck and company, that you said that they had their regularly scheduled programs going on, so it kind of
set for tomorrow, too.
So then, nevertheless, that doesn't mean anything. And if that's the case, I think they basically have those windows set up. If they're pre-recorded, they could just put those shows there if the game's over, and then they could actually get into their regular situations. But nevertheless, we have this going on with the Indians having problems getting in the home. I would more or less think it would be them holding the Cubs up. That's why I asked you which team it was, because if they were doing that to the Cubs, then it would be a whole nother eyebrow-raising situation, but due to the fact that it's the Indians, I don't know if this actually makes them fall off course, because they're basically, I'm not even looking at them resting in their own beds and things of that nature. They don't have the crowd cheering when they have a two-strike situation and the pitcher is basically trying to get them out of there. They basically get to play comfortable baseball. So, again, looking at what the game was like last night, the Indians made it interesting, that's for sure. They have that never-say-die attitude, but it'd be interesting if the Cubs could come back and win this next one at least. If the Cubs could win Game 6 and push for the Game 7, I think all sports should shut down. I'm being selfish in saying this, but I don't care. I don't care who's listening or what. If the Cubs force a Game 7, I don't think there should be a basketball game played. I don't think there should be a college football game played, hockey, NFL. Nothing. Everybody should be watching the Game 7 between both of these teams. I'm not even just putting it all in front of Chicago to get it done, things of that nature. Cleveland is looking at a 60-something, 68-year streak as well. So, everybody should be paying attention. I think every store should be out of popcorn, no pizzas, no. Everybody should be watching this. And the Indians are up to the call. They're playing ball, and Terry Francona, it doesn't even look like he's rattled when things happen. He just gets a handful of sunflower seeds and keep cracking and spitting, and he's fine. And his boys, fire resolve in his situation. So I tip my hat to the Indians. I really don't feel good saying that about the Indians because they're in my division and a rival of the Minnesota Twins, but it's something about the AL Central. When they get here, they get it done. I mean, the Royals fell apart 2 years ago, but so be it. The Indians are looking like they're actually trying to get back-to-back division World Series championships within the division, but nevertheless, like I said, Chris Bryant finally woke up. You got a big hit from Rizzo as well to push things as well around the pads. That game was nail biting, 3-2 type of game. They took Lester out, and it looked like it was going to fall short for the Cubs, and they got out of these innings. And then Chapman, you had to be the man of the hour from the seventh inning on. I think everybody in Chicago loves you. If you guys get this thing, and I'll say this too, if Chicago comes back and gets it done, I won't even look at nobody else than Chapman. I won't look at anybody else. I will give Chapman all of the credit. Now, granted, you'll get hits from guys and, players that make plays. Chapman's situation right there in game five to save face while the Indians were about to turn that thing around. Chapman deserves some consideration. I know they probably won't go to Chapman and give him the MVP if they were to get it done, but hell, that's an epic performance by Aroldis Chapman. I'll take my hat on that performance late in that game. Tommy, anything else before we get away from it?
Story. Cleveland better win game six. Because if not, I said this for the Nationals against L.A. You know it, Ty, because I told you and I said it on here. If it goes to game seven, Cleveland wins. Or Chicago wins it all. Because the momentum is completely on Chicago's side. Cleveland better win game six. Now, I will throw this out to make it even more juicier. Ty, I told you, I texted you and I told you, watch Kyle Schwarber do something special. Did I or did I not?
Yes, you did.
He will be hit. Who comes back from a torn ACL at all, period? Nobody. I'll say he will get a game-winning home run or game-winning RBI or something in game six or game seven.
I noticed if he does it in game seven, I'm not even trying to look past. I don't want to do this in Chicago. I don't want to look past game six. But if they were to push it to a game seven and he did it in game seven, he would probably get a street named after him. He probably will have a housing complex named after him. Hell, they might open up an elementary school and name it after him. If he gets it done, at least in the north side. You don't want it in the south side of Chicago because that's where the White Sox play. But nevertheless, that'll be epic to ice the cake for the Cubs if they can push for a game seven and something like that were to happen. But Indians, I don't want to overlook what you guys are doing. You guys have the Cubs on their heels. They just got out of Chicago with that 3-2 win. If Aroldis Chapman wasn't on that bump throwing 103, 102 consistently, he's throwing 103 and 102 consistently for those three innings. Man, he's special, man. I don't even know how the Yankees gave up on him so fast and it didn't work out for him in New York. Like, they got rid of him so quick. Like, good God. Now he's somewhere comfortable. He doesn't have to worry about the New York media and newspapers. He gets to go out there and play his game. Shout out to Aroldis Chapman. But the Cubs did survive, winning that game by one up against the Indians yesterday. Now, Sports City, before I do get into the picks and news and notes from week eight from yesterday, because we still got one game today to discuss, which I think me and Tommy probably will be going one side, unless somebody has something up their sleeve. I don't want to persuade Tommy into the way that I'm going, but I know which way I'm going to go in selecting. Now, like I said at the top of the show, I don't like to talk about my players or the teams that I love and support, things of that nature, because it shows me being one-dimensional, biased, so on and so forth, and it concerns me about what this individual is doing right now, where a lot of teams are probably going to try and close the quarters, if you will, and make it tougher for him to do his thing. But if you are a family member of mine, or if you are a friend family member of mine, or if you're just a friend or associate acquaintance to someone of that sort, you know who I support. A lot of people were like, damn, Ty, KD left, you going to Golden State? I'm like, listen, I watched Sean Kemp leave in 97 and go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I watched Gary Payton leave in 2002, go to the Milwaukee Bucks. I watched Ray Allen leave in 2006 and go to the Boston Celtics. What the hell am I going to leave for if Kevin Durant leaves and go to Golden State? Now, of course, I felt some type of way. I'm like, Kevin Durant could go to any team in the NBA, but it's just wicked that he goes to the Warriors. But nevertheless, everybody's like, oh, well, Ty, don't forget, Russ got 1 year on that deal. He's going to end up leaving too. I'm like, Oklahoma City better do whatever they can to hang on to Russ. before Oklahoma City could do anything, Russ made the decision and told them to get the deal done now. He stayed put. Things of that nature. Now, we are seeing basketball be played by Russell Westbrook that we've owned. Well, I wasn't alive. I was in my father's body, you know. Well, they haven't seen basketball played like this since Oscar Robertson, where Russell is not only just averaging a triple-double, but I had to actually think about this as Tommy sent it to me, and I'm going to share it again later on today because I didn't want to just have it overshare, be overkill, and things of that nature because I had to let it marinate within myself before I got into it. Russell Westbrook is the first player in NBA history. Let me repeat this now. Let me repeat this so you guys know what the hell I'm doing. The first in NBA history, no Michael Jordan, no Oscar Robertson, no Magic Johnson, no LeBron James, no Kobe Bryant, no Wilt Chamberlain, no Elgin Baylor, no Jerry West, no, I'm trying to give you names, Dr. J, no George Gervin to score 100 points, 30 rebounds, and 30 assists out the gate. Now, granted, there have been players that have come out the gate and had three straight triple-doubles. Oscar Robertson has done it. Magic has done it as well. But they have not hit 100 points in doing that and still being able to help the bigs go down there and rebound and also get 10 assists out there to make these players better. And they say the best player on your team is supposed to make players better. Well, hell, I want you to know this one, Sports City, because this is breaking news. As of 40 minutes ago, from where I heard it, it probably came out a little earlier too, but I just got it 40 minutes ago. The Thunder are not only in talks with Victor Oladipo and trying to get him an $88 million deal over the next four, they are also trying to get Steven Adams a four-year deal for, get this, Sports City, and this has actually got my eyebrows raised, $100 million. Now, I love Steven Adams. He's one of those garbage men, goes down there, does his job. I think he's probably the strong. No, him and Dwight. Him and Dwight Howard. I say Dwight. The two of them have to be the strongest big men in the league. I love that about Steven Adams. And now Russ has this guy scoring at least 12 to 16 points a game, where season past, Steven Adams will only give you 6-7 points. They're actually getting him to get double digits consistently. But nevertheless, I'm getting off topic. Here I go talking about the Thunder. Like I said, once I talk about my boys, I get one-dimensional. That's why I try my best not to talk about the Lions, the Thunder, the Rangers, the Twins. The only team I probably will talk about is the Tennessee Lady Vols because of Pat Summitt. And rest in peace to Pat because I love her. Or Georgetown. I won't talk about Georgetown. I try my best. But here I am getting a whirlwind of news out of the Thunder situation as they are off to an interesting start at the beginning of the season. But, Tommy, your thoughts to the start of Russell Westbrook's 2016-2017 season?
He's out making a – I think he's out trying to prove to everybody why he should have been the MVP last season. No questions about it. He will always been in my eyes – and I'm sure Tyrone's eyes, the true and the real MVP of last year. He keeps going on with what he's doing now. He'll win it. He should definitely win it this year. What he's doing is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I hope he keeps it up, except on two nights, and just take a day off, Russ. You don't really want to play those two games. And Ty knows which two games I'm talking about.
Well, this Wednesday, they play the Los Angeles Clippers, both of which are unbeaten. The Clippers are 2-0, the Thunder are 3-0. Very interesting matchup. I actually am concerned about the Thunder in this one because now it's not Serge Ibaka dealing Blake Griffin. It's the rookies, Domantas Sabonis. Well, that's good size, but I don't think he has the width or the strength to deal with Blake. So I hope Blake don't just run him over. If Blake has that strength, I hope Sabonis knows how to draw a charge. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to keep Blake out of the paint and try to win this game. And then following that up, right behind it, Wednesday is a Thursday night matchup where Oklahoma City goes back to the scene of the crime last year in Game 7 up against the Warriors to set this thing off. Now, I know that it can get – I think it is going to get crazy. But I'm going to say this here right now, Sports City. I already know Kevin Durant probably going to hit a shot and start jawing probably to the crowd. And I know Russ may take it personal. And I know Russ may try to answer back and start woo-wooing. And then I know Curry might get involved. And it is up to Russ to keep the cooler head. He has to, because he has to know that Steve Kerr is writing that on the chalkboard right now. He's writing that on the chalkboard right now to get under Russell's skin. Somebody start him up, whether it's Draymond, because him and Draymond almost got into it last year. Somebody's going to have to get at Russ to get them started. So I know that those, the next two games that the Thunder have coming up are huge. If the Thunder is to walk away from these two games, Wednesday and Thursday, with a win in both, they leave not only the California stretch 5-0, but they already just beat the Lakers. They'll end up playing the Clippers and the Warriors, too. This is big. This is big, but... like I said, I know the Clippers are going to have their bulletin board material to try and get at Russ and see how he can play without KD. And you know KD is probably in that locker room or in that huddle, probably telling Curry to cross Russ up and talk junk after a three-point shot just to get Russell out of his mind and make Russell try to play that hero ball. But Russell is playing ball, getting the Thunder players better, and I just want to see him now that he's going up against tugboats this early in the season. They're not even waiting till the middle portion of December or January, February. They have it setting off at the beginning of November already with the big boys around the league. So this is going to be huge in the next coming game. Tommy, anything else that you would like to say, especially with the two games that you brought up as well?
No, the two games I'm talking about is November 30th. Russ, take a day off. Go ahead. You don't need to play that November 30th game. Go ahead. You're good.
Hold on. Let me see what's going on November 30th. I know Wednesday and Thursday they play the Clippers and the Warriors. Tell me, because I'm going to be on the search real quick.
November 30th, they play my Wizards.
Why do you want them to take a day off? Look, him and John Wall, that's a good matchup. That is a very good matchup.
Go ahead, Russ. You can take off. You don't need to play.
Why? That's not cool. Let Russ play. Russ deserves to play like everyone else does. That's not fair.
But then I don't want an excuse from Tyrone why the Wizards beat you either. So go ahead and play.
Oh, now, see, look at Sports City. I didn't even do this. I didn't even call him out or anything. I'm over here chilling. Let me get away from my boys. Let me stop right now. This is why I don't Sports City. Y'all can blame everybody that come in this kitchen. They come for me. You know they all come for me. They start fights with me. They want to see me out of my element. Look, y'all can blame them. Blame them. Okay. Now, week 8 has just gone by in the NFL, and some interesting matchups, some interesting wins. But first and foremost, I do have to say this, Sports City. I know I'm not a Cowboy fan by any means. I'm not. But I sit here in this kitchen almost every week now. I got his real name, people. I knew it was Dakota, but that's his middle name. His first name is Rain, people. So Rain Prescott. That's right, Rain. And that's cool. I can't even pick on the word Rain because I'm not going to lie. I'm a fall baby. I'm a late fall baby. I'm in December, so I like rain. You know what I'm saying? Dak Prescott is that guy helping that Cowboy team pick up a win after facing a 10-point deficit by the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly being up 23-13 and getting this game sent to overtime. And, Jason Garrett, I ask you this question. Since your boss is Jerry Jones, right? you believe in Dak Prescott so much that you go for a fourth down and he gets it? Does this change your mind now? Now, I've been in this kitchen screaming, do not put Tony Romo back in there. Don't do it. Don't do it, because I don't think that's fair or that's right. But you go for it on fourth down, overtime game, and he gets it done. I've seen Romo get stuffed at the goal line. I've seen Romo get stuffed at the line of scrimmage where he can't make the change, the move. And I'm not basing everything on Romo right there, but that Prescott is getting it done right now, and this team is buying into it. David Garrett, I think you better let that guy continue to play and let him at least start to fall off course before you put Tony Romo back in there. But, Tommy, your thoughts on the Cowboys surviving, yeah, I'm saying surviving, up against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Thank you, Philadelphia, for letting the Cowboys come back. Thank you, Prescott. God, my morning was beautiful. And time knows why. Man, did I have a good wake-up morning. Thank you. Now, to the game. I believe the rookie of the year is in Cowboy country. It's Prescott, or you can give it to Elliott. Whoever. This was a total collapse by Philadelphia. A total collapse.
Okay. What about Carson Wentz, though? I don't want to leave Carson Wentz out of the discussion, because Carson Wentz was doing what he could to make this game that much more interesting for the Cowboys. Turnovers hurt the Eagles. And they couldn't stop the Eagles. I mean, they couldn't stop the Cowboys once the Cowboys wanted to move the ball, especially Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke was getting what he wanted when he wanted. But shout out to Carson Wentz. I think you're definitely getting overlooked in this rookie situation. But I agree with Tommy. It's between the two of those guys, between Zeke and Dak. Until I see a defense that can slow them down and win one, I don't know how you go away from them. But Dez Bryant comes back, has a 100-yard day receiving. Thank you, Dez, because you helped me win, and I think I probably have the biggest win in fantasy football this week. I won by, like, 80 points. I won by 80 because of him and Derek Carr. I'll be getting to Derek Carr in a little bit. I will be getting to you, too, Derek. Cole Beasley, if you would have caught the ball more times, I probably would have won by 100. But, Philly, I don't know, man. You beat the Minnesota Vikings the other week, and now you go up against Dallas and have a 10-point lead and can't shut the door. You got to be able to shut the door, and it's easier said than done, especially trying to slow down Zeke. Zeke was getting 6 yards a carry. He was doing what he wanted. Dak Prescott was killing them if things broke down. Scrambling quarterbacks, I'll tell you, a quarterback that's mobile can hurt a defense every day. It frustrates the hell out of defenses. Frustrates them. But it's like, what the hell are you doing, Jim Schwartz? Where is your quarterback spy? There's nobody waiting on him to break camp. Like, nobody. Like, all you would do is send the blitz, and in the middle of the field is wide open. If they rush the pocket and they're around him, he has an open field ahead of him. Open field ahead of him. So, great game plan by the Dallas Cowboys. Them actually putting more of these teams in the NFC East behind them. They have a considerable lead at this point in time. And how the hell Jason Witten was wide open in the back of the end zone. Well, people I've seen the play over. Two Eagles defenders hit each other and end up leaving one of the more dangerous tight ends in the game wide freaking open. Wide open. Wide open. So, shout out to Dallas, man. They are getting it done in the NFC East. They are. Tommy, anything that you'd like to say before we get away from that game?
Just, I didn't know where the pass rush was consistently.
Like I said, they were trying to send blitzes, but once they were sending the blitz, he was sending all of his responsible linebackers. Like, so I think that was a very bad mistake. Very bad. He's better off not even sending them. Especially the way that you know Dak is a dink and dunker type of quarterback and does the best with ball management. So you know, trying to protect the ball. Another, you know, newsworthy situation is the New England Patriots trade linebacker Jamie Collins to the Cleveland Browns. Now, here goes an interesting situation. They already played the Browns, so it's like they're out of the way. Collins can't give them too much information on what they run and things of that nature, but this is a huge situation for the Patriots, getting rid of one of their biggest tacklers on the season just for a draft pick. It's like they picked up Kyle Van Noy from the Detroit Lions. Are they looking to Kyle to be the guy that Jamie Collins was, or do we actually see the Patriots actually start to slow down, at least on the defensive side of the ball? Tommy, your thoughts on this before we get back to the Week 8 matchups and game?
This comes down to money. And we all know the Patriots don't spend money, that much money, on players. This has been proven. He's a free agent, and I can't remember what I read. I read it somewhere. He was asking for like $100 million or whatever for so many years or everything. How do you think it sucks to be him right now? You go from a team that's 7-1 to 0-8 and had a 20-7 lead at halftime and blew it. Man, he's got to feel like shit right now. Because I know I would.
And this is what one of the analysts was speaking on, saying going from one of the, if not the hottest team in the NFL, and going to the complete worst team in the NFL, it has to, you know, make your stomach cringe as you think about that. Okay. Getting back to these games now, I said Sports City, before the game went down, I said that this would potentially be one of the games of the day, and that was the Atlanta Falcons beating the Green Bay Packers by 1 point. Now, I don't even want to get too much into the, you know, the X's and O's in the game, which I know we probably will anyway. Tommy, your question mark, if you do have any, let me not push that too much to you, toward the Green Bay Packers, can they survive with so many injuries? Now, they of course, they got Aaron Rodgers. As long as one of those receivers can get a step on a guy, I feel like he can move the chain. They are, and this Sports City, I apologize, but I might get a little pissed off here. Eddie Lacy out. Starks out. They have their other injuries at the running back position, right? Now, while we did the show, Sports City, I apologize. I'm going to apologize before I go any further. While Tommy was speaking about one of the topics, I was going through my fantasy roster. No lie, I swear to you. I was going through my fantasy roster to make sure people were available to play. I do have Randall Cobb on my roster. There was no Q being questionable, or no D that read doubtful, or no O that meant out, right? That game came around, they ruled him out. I was so pissed off because I wasn't near a computer when that game was taken off, so I had to leave him in the roster. So let alone Cole Beasley didn't do nothing in the Dallas game, and Randall Cobb didn't even play. Randall Cobb didn't even play. So I'm wondering how long of an extent this is going to hold Randall Cobb out. Eddie Lacy's out for the duration of the season, Starks as well. How do they stay afloat with just Aaron Rodgers? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not challenging Aaron Rodgers. I want to look away from number 12. Like, how much pressure can this guy endure right now? Like, I don't want to actually be the one putting the chip on his shoulder because I don't want to get him hot because we played him one more time. But your thoughts on Green Bay losing a very interesting one where Atlanta has to make this just as tough to come back and get this game up against the Packers?
Yeah, this is one of the games I got wrong because I went with Green Bay. I actually first thought I was going to be right and had it right in the bag. If I'm playing the Packers the rest of this season, I'm setting back and I'm playing zone coverage or in everything and daring them to run the football. Because they're not going to. This team has no running game to save their life. It's Aaron Rodgers and then receivers. They do not have a running back to run the football. And if they can find one somewhere on the streets, good luck. I'm sitting back and I'm daring you. I'm not playing man. because then if Rodgers escapes from the pocket, that means the receiver's like, no, I am lining up in zone coverage, and I'm saying beat me. They do not have a running game. If they had any type of running game, I believe they win last night. That and there are times where the defense just looked like they just didn't want to be out there either. So they've got problems. As long as Minnesota takes care of business, they win this division by running flying colors.
I wonder where the consistency of Jordy Nelson went. I hope his injury bug can leave them alone on an analytical level. But personally, it's like, no, I don't want to see the Packers get any hotter than what they are right now. But then again, like I said, they don't have anybody to run the ball. And here we go, Sports City, as I allow me to throw this one out there. Tommy said to pick up one of these running backs in the streets. Well, I can go outside of my front door, and somewhere in the city that I reside is Ray Rice. Now, I know a lot of people feel a certain way. I have a lot of people that have heard me speak on him and said that he will never play again in the NFL, which I think they may be right, but I think he can still play. Look at what's going on in Green Bay. They don't have a freaking running back. They don't have a running back. There are I can name at least four teams right now, tip of my tongue right now, that can use Ray Rice, including my Detroit Lions. I'll take Ray back in a heartbeat. I never even had him. I'll take Ray right now. I'll take him. Bring him. Ray, you got the Packers that need him. Oakland can use a running back right now. I mean, there are so many different teams that you can think of right now that can use the services of Ray Rice, but they won't deal with it because of the, you know, the domestic violence situation that he had with his wife. But nevertheless, I'll get past that one. But there is a need for him. I'm wondering how much of this they're going to put on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is arm and shoulder. I don't think that's fair at all. Anything else, Tommy, before we get away from this one?
Nope.
We had a 27-27 tie with the Redskins and the Bengals. We also had the Kansas City Chiefs knock off the Indianapolis Colts. Tommy got that one right. Colts, I'm going to say,
talking on that Kansas City game real quick?
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Real quick. Memo to Andy Reid and the coaching staff. If you have a quarterback that leaves the game with a concussion or concussion protocol or whatever, you do not bring him back in for him to run this football, because you see what happened. He got his ass knocked back out again. So just don't put him back in at all.
The second time that he got knocked out, it looked scary. Andy Reid, I respect you as a coach. I don't know what to say, but the first time when he got knocked out and his teammate helped him up, he helped him up holding him up by his waist, and Alex Smith couldn't stand up. Like, he literally had a real bad wobble to him. He suffered another hit. He couldn't even do a sit-up. Like, his body laid, and he tried his best. NFL, and I feel bad because I love the sport of NFL. You guys better get this thing right before they end up banning your $2 billion a year industry called the football, NFL league, however you put it, because just last year, you remember what happened to Case Keenum, where Jeff Fisher didn't take him out, and he was playing with that damn concussion, and he couldn't get up in Baltimore. He was out there laid flat on that damn turf trying to get up and couldn't get up. Now you have Alex Smith going through the same damn thing. Both you, Jeff Fisher, and Andy Reid, I question this. And then I look at all the other players saying, you know what, I played with concussions. I'm starting to believe them now. I am starting to believe them now. Now, speaking on this game, Colts, Chuck Pagano, and Chuck, I love you because you got a little inkling of Miami in you, and I fight for you because you fought cancer, and that gets to my heart. If you can't get a front line to block, the richest player in the NFL right now, and Andrew Luck, you just gave an extension to make him the richest dude in the league. You might as well tell the coach, you know what, you take this whole organization and throw it in the incinerator. Burn it. Burn it. There, you got to lose a game at home to the Chiefs convincingly. Convincingly. Well, we just think 2 years ago, were you guys in the playoffs? You guys came back down, what was it, 40-something to like 10 and won the game 45-44 or something like that. I remember that game. Alex Smith was the quarterback. And Andrew Luck helped strike up the band. Him and T.Y. went crazy on y'all. Now y'all can't even get over 20 points at home up against this Chiefs team? I don't know. I don't know. This is very questionable play by this coach team. I don't really want to be this brutal, but I am. Indianapolis, you may finish at the bottom of the AFC South. I'm sorry.
Let me throw this out, Ty. Does Chuck come back next year or is he gone?
Wait, repeat that again. Who will be gone next year?
Is Chuck the head coach next year or is he gone?
That's a very interesting question. That is very interesting. One more year. I think they give him one more year. And I'm like on thin ice, like with nobody standing on the brink of the lake or anything. I feel like I'm out there and about to fall. I think they give him 1 year. I think I'm out there by myself, though.
Like you said, and I've always said, I don't like seeing people lose their jobs, but this is a business. I say he's gone at the end of the year.
So he's fired at the end of the season. If they finish 500,
yep.
I think they keep him. If they finish 8-8, I think they keep him. But if it's like 6-10, hell, maybe that 7-9 too might be questionable too, which is right around the same game, but 6-10 or worse, then I could agree with you. But I still feel like they got at least 3 losses to save face for him. At least 3 losses. Okay. Moving right along. I feel good about this game. And it got very interesting, too, as the Seahawks lose their second game this season in New Orleans, where the Saints had to fight back to get back into this game. The Saints ended up taking the lead. The Seahawks got the lead. This is one of those up-and-down games. Shout-out to the Seahawks and the Saints making this one of those epic matchups. 25-20, Saints win. Tommy, your thoughts on this one, where Drew Brees was able to beat the Legion of Boom?
I was sweating this one. I ain't lying. I was sweating it. Thank you, Saints defense, for doing just enough for me. You get me a W and a pick. You all did just enough. I really thought I was thinking they were driving the ball downfield. Will you stop please calling them the Legion of Doom, Ty? This defense is not the Legion of Doom. They're far from it. They've got question marks in this defense. Richard Sherman's nowhere near as good as he thinks he is this year. I'm sorry.
I mean, they still have some key pieces from the Legion of Boom. I'm not saying Doom. Boom. Legion of Doom was the wrestler. But the reason why I say that, I still respect Bobby Wagner. Shout out to my boy Kev Pierre-Louis as well from the Connecticut area also. Thomas actually had a big hit today. I mean, well, yesterday, and ended up grabbing the referee like he hugged him like without malintention, but he ended up getting a flag thrown on him. But there still are some interesting pieces, but I think the jury is still out on them. I think this loss right here has me thinking that the NFC West is still up for grabs. Still up for grabs, at least for them and the Cardinals. At least for them and the Cardinals. But epic one, especially in a low-scoring affair, 25-20.
The Cardinals better show up and start playing on the road if they want to win this division, because they haven't showed it yet.
Okay, I got another one, Tommy, that I'm not even going to lie. I was sweating out with you for this one. the New York Jets went on the road up against the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland was oh so close to winning their first game on the season, 31-28. Fitzpatrick gets knocked out of the game, comes back, and ends up manning the ship from Bryce Petty. I was hoping that Bryce Petty was going to be able to play the remainder of the game. They didn't let it happen. But nevertheless, they ended up winning this game up against Cleveland. Your thoughts on this matchup, where we said if the Browns wanted to win their game, it could potentially be the day that they get it done, and they didn't. Your thoughts on the Jets and the Browns game?
This comes down to one big thing. The Browns cannot finish. If I'm correct, it was 20-7. It may have even been 20-0 at halftime. And you blew it. And it's funny how there was a Cleveland defensive player, I can't remember who it was, might have been one of the corners, put out a tweet at halftime, the Jets need to bench Fitzpatrick and bring in Petty. And then they couldn't, defense got blown. Your Cleveland's defense just got embarrassed after the second half. The offense couldn't do a damn thing. Wait, why did you stop doing whatever got you to 20 points? I mean, this just comes down to poor coaching. The players not knowing how to finish, and players sending out tweets that shouldn't be tweeting, you better be getting ready for the second half. I mean, this is ridiculous. I don't know who else on the schedule that they can possibly get a win against. I'm being serious. This was the opportunity of all opportunities, and y'all blew it.
Do they beat the Ravens? That is the question.
That's a dull fight. And it's a Thursday night game. For some reason, it does not matter how good this Ravens team is. We always play Cleveland. Cleveland always, it's always a close game. I mean, they could possibly, I guess. I mean, there's always a possibility. And I know if it happens, God, I'll never hear the end of it.
Okay, Tom, I'm going to give you your name, and hopefully you can answer this right. Your thoughts on Tom Brady, that is. How great is this guy?
Who?
Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's okay.
Just okay. That's all we're getting today is just okay. Just okay.
Yeah, you'd be cheats.
Stop it. Come on. Okay, well, your thoughts on the game up against the Buffalo Bills where they put a 40 on them and basically could have did whatever they wanted. Gronkowski was doing what he wanted. Amendola did what he wanted. Your thoughts on the revenge of the shutout?
This just comes down to, I think Buffalo just wasn't ready to play at all. I think they took this, I don't know how to say it. They just didn't look like they did week four they played. And I like to mention for the idiot that threw out the sex toy on the field, really? I mean, like, really? How immature are you?
I don't know. I think it's more or less a situation where they got to try and do something to get under the Patriots' skin, the way that these guys have been playing football as of late. Okay, so since you don't want to give Brady any credit and you're saying that he cheats and people need to stop, even you, Tommy, like, let that go. You're telling me to let go of the Legion of Boom? I'll let go of the Legion of Boom if you let go of that cheating stuff. because this dude is for real. I had to come to grips and say, you know what, Brady is the best quarterback I've ever seen. Because I was
saying that's just
hold on. So in 2010, I said Brady won't win another Super Bowl. He got there in 2011. I was scared as hell, and the Giants won. I was like, whew. And he gets back there in 2014. I'm like, yo, this can't happen, and he wins it. So it's like I had to really eat that crow and understand what this guy brings to the damn table. He's the best quarterback I've seen. Or the best ever. It ain't even who I've seen. Best ever. I mean, there's been so many generational quarterbacks. Only thing he can't do is scramble. We all know Brady can't run. But as soon as he says hike, he's about as deadly as any other quarterback in the game ever. But outside of that, I mean, is his run for the MVP situation real? I mean, missing the first four games as well.
I mean, he might win the MVP. Who knows who the writers in the league give it to?
Okay, I'll get away from it. I'll
give it to him.
Huh?
But I still say this game could have been closer if Shady McCoy played.
Hell, if Shady McCoy would have played, my fantasy team would have probably had like 2,000 points. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'll get away from it. Gronkowski, I'm telling you, you're not fair. Rob Gronkowski, I don't care what anybody tells me, you're not fair. You can't be 6'7" and 270 and run a 4.5 40. Like, that's not fair, man. That's not fair, man. It's not, man. Corners and safeties have a tough time catching up to him. That's cheating. If you're flattening ball and recording other teams, Gronkowski is a cheat mode. That's the cheater. Okay, just like Tommy said, the Cardinals lost on the road. The Panthers actually had an interesting lead. The Cardinals tried to come back somewhat. They cut it to 10, but just couldn't get there. The Panthers win by 10, winning their second game on the season. The Cardinals are now 3-4. Chargers lost by 8 up against the Broncos. Phillip Rivers, I just don't get it, man. It's always something crazy that happens in the midst of a game with you. It's always something. Shout out to Melvin Gordon, another 100-yard day. This dude is a little beast under the radar. There's nobody paying attention to what he's doing. Nobody paying attention to what he's doing. Like I said, Derek Carr, 59 passing attempts, 500 yards passing, 4 touchdowns thrown. The Raiders are for real. Heading into this matchup up against the Denver Broncos Sunday night. Tommy, your thoughts on this Raiders team?
They're a playoff team. Defensively, it scares me. This Raiders defense scares me at times. If they can get a consistent running game with that deadly, deadly passing game, wow. This offense can be lethal. But I want to go back to two games you speak on. I want to go back to the Cardinals game and Panthers game. Everybody that knows me knows I'm a big Cam Newton fan. Have been a big Cam Newton fan, even when he was in college. What in the living hell does this man have to do to get a call? He has not got a call from an official since last year when him and Ed Hockley, the Mr. Strong Muscle guy, got into it verbally. He has not gotten a call. You go back to week one. He gets brutally beaten up. Might as well call the police on assault charges the way that Denver was hitting him in the head. And then there were a couple other games. He was just – and then yesterday, the dude was being beaten again. What does he have to do to get a call? Rules are, if the quarterback is in the pocket in a passing – degree, throwing the football, you cannot hit him below the knees. It's the crybaby Brady rule. Well, guess what? It happened not once, but it happened twice, and not a flag. You know, you got Cam coming out in the media, and everybody bashing him, of course, because you got to be a hater, people. About him saying the game, he's fearful. The game's not going to be fun for him anymore. He wants to talk to Roger Goodell. Well, you ain't getting much help, Cam. I don't know what you got to do, but something's got to be done before this man's career is ended. Because this is ridiculous. Now, he cannot get a call.
It's kind of like the big receivers. You know, they think the big receivers are athletic enough to get away from those pass interference calls or illegal contact calls that they're supposed to get, but the refs won't get it. Cam Newton being the 6'6", 260 quarterback that can scramble like a running back, they just won't give him calls, unfortunately. Unfortunately, this is the reality that he does face. Okay, we are coming down on time. We have 4 minutes. Excuse me, 4 minutes left. I do want to get your pick on the game. I am frustrated with the way that the Lions fell apart, losing by 7 up against the Texans. Like I said, this was a perfect storm for both of them. The Lions on a 3-game streak, 4-game winning streak at home for the Texans, especially coming off an interesting loss up against the Denver Broncos. But Tommy, your thoughts on that game, and then your pick for tonight, Minnesota or Chicago, in Soldier Field in Chicago?
The Lions disappointed me once again. I mean, it's to the point I'm done picking them at all, because they're getting as bad as the Giants. When I pick them, they lose. But when I pick against them, they win. I don't know about that. I have no clue, Ty. Personally, the onside kick with 2 minutes and something left, I think I would have kicked it deep and played defense and used my timeouts and all. But, I mean, I don't know what to say. I didn't really watch this. I let you talk about it more. Give me the Vikings.
Yeah, there's no way I'm picking against Minnesota right now, especially coming off a loss up against Philadelphia. I'm going with Minnesota. If Jay Cutler could come back under center and get it done, shout out to Jay Cutler. But I want to see you get it done up against this tough defense. This defense is not going to be playing games. I don't know, man. Anquan Boldin wasn't even a target, and I'm now rooting for Florida State Seminoles, because he's a part of the team that I love. So now I'm rooting for Anquan Boldin. Oh, my goodness. They didn't even target him like that yesterday. Absolutely insane. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Like I said, we'll be back here tomorrow with the cookout. Me, Tommy, the rest of the boys got to come in the kitchen and get this thing cooked up right. We'll be talking about this game, especially if Chicago pulls this off. Happy Halloween to everybody out there. Be safe, even though it's a Monday. Don't stay out there too late with your children, man. Let them enjoy their candy throughout the next 3 weeks. I know how we used to do it. We would get a pillowcase, fill the pillowcase up, and have candy for the month. So on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that this is Chef again. And if they don't know... Now they know.
Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. Woo! What you're about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather around, hustlers. That's
that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Young Vito, voice of the young people, mouthpiece for hustlers. I'm back, motherfuckers. Your reign on the top was shorter than leprechauns. You can't fuck with hoes. What type of ex you're on? I got great lawyers for cops, so dress warm. Charges don't stick to duty, Teflon. I'm too sexy for jail, like I'm right, said Fred. I'm not guilty, now give me back my bread. Look, the district attorney, I'm not sure if they told you I'm on TV every day. Where the fuck could I go to? Plus, hoes don't run, hoes stand and fight, hoes a soldier, hoes been fighting all his life. So, what could you do to me? It's not new to me, sue me, fuck you. What's a couple dollars to me? But you will respect me, simple as that. Or I got no problem going back. I'm representing for the seat where Rosa Parks at. Where Malcolm X was shot, where Martin Luther was popped. So off we go, let the trumpets blow. And hold on, because the driver of the mission is a pro. The rule is back.